Welcome to the Creating Us podcast, hosted by the Office of Leader and Culture Development. I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby.
And we're excited to be with you as we go on a journey across the Texas Tech University system. All right, here we go. Shelby, how are you today?
I'm doing really good. You know, it's the day after Thanksgiving. Oh my gosh, we're already there. It's the day after Halloween. And so obviously my brain is not on all the way this morning.
But you know, I'll tell you what's interesting is I went to Costco the other night, my wife and I did. And when I walked in, I immediately thought, what about Halloween? What about Thanksgiving? Because everything is Christmas.
Yes.
But everything is. And I'm like, wait a second, how are we already there? But this is the time of year where everything flies by.
Yes. Well, you know, and the weather's getting colder. I'm sure you're feeling right at home.
Oh yeah, very much.
It's getting cold. It's getting cold for us Texans.
Very much so. And, you know, I'm seeing all the pictures of back home of people who are posting the trick-or-treating and the snowing and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I'm good. So, all right. Well, who are we talking with today? This is a really special episode for us.
It is really special. And today we get the pleasure of talking to the TTU HSC president, Dr. Lori Rice Spearman. How are you this morning?
I'm great. And thank y'all for inviting me in this morning. I look forward to the conversation.
Yeah, we're so excited about you being here.
So there are so many great things that are happening at the Health Sciences Center. And obviously, yes, I'm biased and I don't care because, you know, that was my introduction to Texas Tech and starting there. And so I get to not only be a part of, but see all of the great progress and the growth and everything that has happened within the HSC. And, you know, just because I can, we're going to continue bragging. And the fact that I love being able to use the HSC as the example, you know, here's what we're doing. And here's a great example of that. So, you know, Dr. Rice Spearman, you've done just so many amazing things. So to start, what should we know about you?
Well, probably one of the most important things to know about me is I am a product of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I came to this institution over 38, going on my 39th year, and first generation college student. I am what we are out here in West Texas. I'm a West Texas girl, grew up in Odessa, Texas, and was looking for an educational opportunity. And was very fortunate that the HSC happened to open the very first class of my major, which is medical laboratory science at that time. And so I didn't have to go to the east side of the state or to a large urban area to complete my undergraduate education, which was significant for our family, for me to be able to have access to this incredible institution and get my education, my bachelor's degree.
Wow.
So, you know, one of the things that has consistently been said, and I'm a little over 4 years having been here, is how protective people are of West Texas. Now, you were raised in Odessa, correct?
Correct. Uh-huh.
And, you know, as I'm getting this, I'm starting to see, oh, yeah, there's a lot to be protective of. There's a lot of great things. So why is not a great way to put it? What would you say is the most special thing?
So Jason, I think there's two lines of thought here. First, there's the generations of individuals who have sustained themselves here and the genetic makeup of those individuals to be pioneers, the grit, the resilience they have to come out here and build what they've done out here in the 108 counties we serve. And really, really, we are the backbone of the state of Texas. And in many areas, we are the backbone of the nation in several areas. And the grit and resilience that it took for them to come out many generations ago and establish that here in West Texas. So I think that's one piece of it. And then the second piece of it are the individuals who came here from all across the world seeking opportunity, and the resilience and the grit that it took for them and the bravery for them to come into this environment and create something special for themselves and their families and continue to sustain it. I'm a first generation Texan. Our family comes from Indian land in Oklahoma. We're Chickasaw Indians. And my grandfather brought our family here because they were starving to death. And he knew that there was opportunity through the railroad right out here in West Texas during one of the oil booms. And so that's our family story, is we came here seeking opportunity and rolled up sleeves and went to work. And it's really a lovely story about our family and how we've been able to persist out here in West Texas and continue to grow our own families.
You know, after talking with other leaders within the TTU-HSC, it is amazing to me how much the Health Sciences Center does, you know, and all of the leaders that we've had are amazing leaders. And I really do think that that is a product of you being an amazing leader. Who has made an impact on you as a leader?
So Shelby, when I think about leadership, and it's something that I've really reframed in my own life in the last 10 years, is I've had an opportunity to serve as a department chair and then an associate dean and a dean and a provost, and now the honor of serving as the president of the Health Sciences Center. But I'm also a mother, a sister, a wife. And so I lead in different areas of my life, and I have mentors in all areas of my life. On my professional side, I have had both female and male mentors, but really I've also had to look outside of the university for mentors and really look for brave leaders, individuals who maybe didn't meet what the rest of the world thinks you should have or what you should be and what you should look like as a leader. And really look at those brave leaders who did extraordinary things, who didn't necessarily fit a mold of what other people thought leadership should be. And within my personal life, my mother was a career woman. She was my father's equal partner in a small business, and watching them build a business together that was successful small business in West Texas. They did not have college higher education. And to watch them build that business as equal partners and watch her mother and still be involved in the community and her church and do the things that she did. I mean, what an incredible mentor to have that way. And then my father mentored me in business. You know, I knew what key performance indicators were from our Sunday afternoon sit downs at the table when we looked at the business for the week and the month. And I'm back before there were spreadsheets. My job was to draw the spreadsheet. And we talked about those very basic business concepts from the time I can remember, you know, as a child, and making changes and taking risk and what needed to be done differently. And so that was just inherent in who I was coming up. And it served me very well in a leadership role.
Yeah.
You mentioned brave leadership. Mm-hmm. And that is probably the first time I've heard of that. Can you tell us more about that?
For me, there's many definitions out there, but for me, brave leadership is when you are so singularly focused and understand your purpose in life and why you're here and why you're at the institution that you are, that you don't let yourself become distracted. You have to keep yourself and the institution singularly focused on what the mission and the purpose is. And sometimes there can be political distractions. Sometimes there can be personnel distractions, competing priorities. And brave leadership is when you have to make hard decisions with good information, knowing that you are making the best decision for the purpose and the mission of the institution and why you're here to serve at this time. And for the institution. And so that takes a lot of bravery to be willing to do hard things and make hard decisions and being okay with that.
You know, you're mentioning the mission and the vision. Your vision at the Health Sciences Center is to transform healthcare through innovation and collaboration. How has your leadership helped, you know, make that vision a reality, really?
So one of the things that, so first and foremost, our chancellor was the president of this institution for 10 years, and I had an opportunity to serve with him on his cabinet and in various leadership roles. And Dr. Mitchell is a servant leader. He brings people to the table. He wants to have collaborative discussions. And so we worked very hard at building strong schools that were meeting the mission that of what we needed to do. And we're also multi-campus. Some individuals not realize that we sit across a geographic swath of land that's larger than 46 of the 50 states of the nation. And so we have six campuses as now, and we have six schools. And really the challenges that come with finding the synergy of the six schools and those six campuses. And so one of the things that Dr. Mitchell and I had identified as one of the priorities for the institution in the coming decade was to start working and functioning as a true university and bringing the collaboration amongst all the schools and all the campuses and really finding opportunity to find the strengths in what we do. And we knew that if we could do that, that our opportunities would just be limitless with the strength that we already had in place. And so that was the vision, to transform healthcare through collaboration and innovation. And collaboration is the cradle for innovation. And so how do we bring people to the table that have never been together before and say, you have this expertise, we want to leverage your expertise, and how do we work together? And we're already through that lens, transforming healthcare and doing things differently than we've ever done it before.
You know, I've viewed the Health Sciences Center being a part of that team and really that family, and now having the opportunity to not only spread the story, but kind of look from the outside in. How did you and your leadership team create that environment or influence it to the point to where it's far reaching? And the reason I ask this is because I think so many times organizations will, you know, build a mission and a vision and it goes on a wall, or, you know, you don't hear about it, but yet at the Health Sciences Center, it's different. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So Jason, we started using that language as part of our litmus test for our projects and where we were going to invest our dollars. You know, one of the first things I would ask is, number one, is this going to transform care in this community? How is it going to impact access to care? And does it transform it? If we're going to continue to do what we've always done, then we're going to get what we always got. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to have to be very intentional about asking ourselves, is this transformational? Is it going to move the needle on access to care? And then my second question that quickly came after that was, who are going to be our collaborators, both internally and externally? So we are very intentional about those two litmus test questions. Mm-hmm. Is it going to transfer care? Is it going to transform care? And underneath that umbrella, does it increase access? And then second, who are our collaborators? Because we can't do it by ourselves. And that's a lesson that we've had to learn as an institution, and the strength that comes with identifying, you know, external partners in our communities, philanthropy partners as well, and then our internal partners across multiple schools. So you would be hard pressed right now to find, in fact, I'm sitting here thinking, to find a major project that we have going on as an institution that is not cross campuses, cross schools, cross divisions, because we're very intentional about the teams that we build around those major projects. And that would be the other piece of this is, you know, if someone asked me once, what do I consider one of my strengths as a leader? And it's team building. You know, you have to build high performing, strong teams that can build trust and tolerate risk and making mistakes and acknowledging it and then moving on. So team building and collaboration are just key, absolutely key.
As you were talking about the projects and the collaboration, it made me think of what came out of the legislative session and the telehealth. Can you tell us about that?
What a wonderful example of our vision in action, you know, to transform healthcare. We've been engaged in telehealth for over three decades in its most crude form. And then now it's an incredibly sophisticated, altering future of healthcare. We call it a technically enabled healthcare ecosystem. And we are at the forefront of establishing that and then leveraging those tools for access to care in rural communities. That project, it literally reaches across our entire university, all six schools. all of our divisions as well, IT, facilities, and it is it's multi-campus as well. We have external partners, and all of our communities are engaged in this. It is really an all-out effort for us to move the needle on not just access to care, but health disparities in those communities. And we are very excited about what that project looks like, and already how we're transforming healthcare in communities like Marathon, Texas, and up in the Amarillo, the Hereford community, and how we're transforming access and healthcare there. So we've got lots of stories to tell about the impact that HSC can have when we go in and partner, listen to our communities and partner with them.
There's so many great things. I'm really excited for the future, right? All the work that has been occurring, you know, to be able to see this. And as you said, share that story. All right. So as we start heading towards the end and wrapping it up, what advice would you give to either a new leader or somebody who's looking to really grow in their craft? What advice would you give them?
I have two pieces of advice. Always, always put your people first. Take care of your people. And if they understand your vision and they understand your why, then they're going to figure out a way to get on board with you and help you execute the vision and the mission for the institution. The second one is, we as an institution have had to do a lot of work around getting away from fear of failure. I'm not saying we're asking for failure or we're going to set projects up that fail, but failures occur. It's messy. When you do big, bold things, you're going to make mistakes, and there's going to be a few missteps along the way. And I would say if you expect perfection and you're not making some missteps along the way, then you're not thinking big enough. You're thinking too small. And so giving your leadership team, and they in turn giving their folks permission to fail, with one caveat that we always have an after action review. We always sit down around a table and pause and take a minute. And we're not going to point fingers or blame, but say, okay, guys, this one was a little messy. Mm-hmm. Where could we have done this differently? How could we have done this better? What can we learn from this? Is there anything we need to alter and change? And let's get going again, mm-hmm. and not let this paralyze us, and get going and moving. And that is something that we are really trying to push and model from our executive team, our cabinet, to say let's tolerate a little bit of failure in an effort to take some significant steps forward.
It continues to amaze me how much the Health Sciences Center does for all of us. You're just an amazing leader, and I love learning about you.
Shelby, we have an incredible team, and some of these team members have been part of this institution for, you know, 15, 20, 25. They committed their careers to this institution. And so now it's getting that synergy, and they truly love this institution and are committed to the mission of the institution. And my job is just to not screw it up.
All right. So Shelby, final thoughts.
I'm really thankful that you were on here and that we get to learn more about you and more about the Health Sciences Center. Like I said, it just continues to amaze me, you know, not only just what the Health Sciences Center does, but the whole system. And so it's so nice getting to interview different leaders. And so thank you for your willingness to come on here.
Thank you, Shelby and Jason, for the invitation.
And, you know, yesterday I had the opportunity to spend some time with some of our student athletes over at Texas Tech. And we were talking about passion and understanding that the dreams that we have, that is the journey, right? That there is no finish line. And one of the, I think, most inspiring things is things get thrown at you, right? Changes happen beyond our control. But yet that ability to focus or really look at those challenges as we're going to learn, but we're going to keep moving forward, I think is so powerful and a message that I want everyone to hear. So I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Creating Us podcast. If you have any comments or questions, please let me know at jason.weber@ttu.edu. Until next time, I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby.
Take care.